Welcome everybody, and thank you very much for sparing the time to come and hear myself and the Finance Director, Steve, present our full year results. So 2 years ago, we stood here for the first time, and we said in DS Smith we have a company which has substantial opportunity to create real value for shareholders. Real value by less cyclical, a higher return on sales, producing year in, year out returns above the cost of capital. And we set out some targets. And we were told you're being ambitious. And today, for the second full year, we start to show you the value that's coming out of DS Smith. So thank you for your time to come and listen to us. So what are the presentation themes? Well, it's been quite a year. And we're going to talk about how DS Smith has really transformed itself over the last year, changing our mix of business, disposing of companies, and hopefully acquiring another one on Saturday. At the same time as delivering on a robust business model. That's what we're built on, the robustness and the resilience of our business model. And we'll talk about the results as well, results which we're pleased with. As I said, showing the value that can come out of DS Smith to shareholders. And lastly, we'll turn to the outlook. Uncertain times, but it's the robustness of our outlook for the coming year. So what are those results? Well, the underlying business has improved every division, and not just financially, but operationally. So customer service levels up, quality up, health and safety accidents down. So we're improving the quality of the business, and that's why the operating profit has improved. The return on sales to 7.2%. The EPS up 28%. The return on capital 14.6%, up 310 basis points. And that's why we've raised the dividend by 31%. Steve.
I'll just get the clicker. It works every time. Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Dryden. I'm the Finance Director, DS Smith. What you see here is really another 6 months of consistent delivery, profits, return on capital, and of cash flow. And there are five key themes to these results. And the key themes that you've seen before: sustainable growth, faster cost recovery, margin progression, returns above our cost of capital, strong cash generation. So in terms of sustainable growth, like-for-like revenue growth, so excluding O'Toole, of 8%. Corrugated box volumes up, again, like-for-like, 2.2%. Faster cost recovery. And this is the key initiative to reduce the volatility in our earnings. And I've got a slide to show you later how we have fully recovered cost increases of £125 million. And we've improved our margins 90 basis points from mix, from volume, from cost reduction and from successful acquisition integration. Return on capital employed, the most important measure to DS Smith, up 310 basis points to 14.6%. And finally, excellent free cash flow, up 31% to £95 million of cash generation, with working capital consistently below our 5% of revenue target. Just looking at the top part of the group income statement, so revenue, you can see there on the right, up like-for-like 8%. Profits, like-for-like, up 20%. Margins up 90 basis points to 7.2%. Our earnings are actually up 42% due to lower finance and tax costs. And actually, our earnings per share is actually only up, I say only up, 28%, and that's due to the higher number of shares from the February rights issue that we completed. Asset turn is up from 1.8 times to 2 times. That's as we use our balance sheet more efficiently. So finally, return on capital employed, obviously with better margins, better asset turnover, means our return on capital employed is up to 14.6%. And I think one of the key points behind these results is really the strength of the improvement that you're seeing is actually across all three divisions. It's across the UK, it's across the continental Europe, and it's across our plastic packaging business. Return on sales, that's up 80 basis points, 90 basis points, and 130 basis points, respectively, across these divisions. Similarly, returns on capital, obviously coming from the margin, but also the better asset utilisations, up 360 basis points, 150 basis points, and 470 basis points improvements, return on capital, across these divisions. These are the charts that you've seen before in terms of the format, but I'm bridging from last year's 1,759 of continuing revenue to what we've delivered this year of 1,969 continuing revenue. The first thing that strikes you is £130 million of price recovery and mix. Now, actually, I say mix because it's important that you understand that we're constantly trying to supply more sophisticated packaging solutions to help our customers sell more or to save money. In terms of volume, volume in corrugated, as we said, is up 2.2%, or £29 million. Paper volume's down, but that's because, frankly, as usual, we have prioritised maintaining margins over chasing volumes. In terms of acquisitions, less than smaller disposals, that's obviously principally the full year effect, or the extra 4 months, from last year's Oto acquisition. That contributed £72 million. So finally, we finished the year on the right, the reported revenue of 1,969. Here's a chart in a similar format for operating profit. Again, I'm bridging on the left from £110.9 million to £142 million continuing operations profit. I think the thing that strikes you is it's another year of full recovery of cost increases in fibre, in energy and paper. Profit benefit coming from the earlier volume increases, £5.8 million. £12 million of operating efficiencies, that's in line with our previous guidance. I've actually got a slide to take you through those specifically later on. Finally, acquisitions, less than smaller disposals, profit benefit, £8.5 million. Just a few points to note on the income statement below operating profit. Net interest charge is slightly lower by £1.6 million. It's obviously that's the benefit from the disposal proceeds from Spices and the rights issue funds that we've placed on deposit from February. Pension finance charge is lower, and that's following the steps that we took last year to close the UK pension scheme to future accrual. Tax, 60 basis points lower, but is in line with previous guidance. Profit before tax and exceptional items is up £25 million to £80.1 million. Exceptional items are a net £3.3 million credit after tax. There's obviously the gain on the Spices disposal, offset by impairment and restructuring of the packaging business, as we previously advised, and absolutely in line with our strategy to further improve competitiveness. So there's the two UK paper mill exits, is obviously the OTOR integration. Finally, we've looked to improve our competitiveness of plastic packaging in Europe. Loss on associates of 0.5 million. That represents the cumulative loss after tax from DS Smith's investment in its Ukrainian-based associate. It has a long paper position, as you know, and obviously combined with higher finance costs from the refinancing there, it lost money November to March, but returned to profit in April. Here's a bridge just explaining how we've managed to move from net debt last year of £351 million to this year's surplus of £322 million of cash. The major moves on net debt really are obviously coming from the acquisition and the disposal activity that we've undertook during the year. And that's actually probably obscured for you the strength of the underlying cash generation. So free cash flow there on the left in green of £95 million. I've got a slide just to break that out for you later. The Spices disposal, or office products wholesaling, generated £182 million. That was completed, it went through in December. Obviously, the rights issue that we completed in February generated £450 million net inflow. In terms of debt structuring, it's important for you to realise that we actually have no refinancing that has to be done until 2016. At the end of June this year, at the end of June 2012, we undertook a private placement for $400 million for funds at an average term of 9.1 years, which will enable, when drawn in August, repayment of the SCA acquisition bridge facility. As I promised, this is a slide on free cash flow. It's up 31%, or £22.5 million. Obviously, some of that's coming from EBITDA being up £28 million. But I think the working capital inflow is quite striking at £44 million. And you need to see that in the context of we actually still managed to grow revenue, 8% like for like, but with a working capital inflow, £44 million. And working capital is consistently, every month of the year, being at 5% or below. Pension payments, behind that line is £15 million per annum. That is the regular, the agreed deficit recovery that we reached with the trustee last year. Finally, CapEx is higher. CapEx is higher because we're investing in the capability to make more sophisticated packaging. And behind that number is growth CapEx of £33 million. These are the targets and the cost savings that we announced well over a year ago now. If I just take you through them and just to give you an update on our progress. In terms of UK efficiency, we set a target of £10 million run rate by April 2014. We're actually at just under £8 million as a run rate delivered in 11-12. And it's really very simple. It's from better integrated working between our UK and packaging businesses, being more efficient about how we work together. On procurement, we are continuing to deliver benefit. It's benefit in terms of the obvious things like unit cost and capital spend, but procurement plays a key part in us improving our payment terms with our suppliers. We've delivered £13 million this year. On OTOR, we've delivered €10 million benefit in the year, and we're well on track to achieve our revised €13 million target that we increased from the original €9 million that we've committed to. Lastly, as I said, working capital is excellent. Consistent improvement throughout the year, and we've actually achieved our target of being below 5% of revenue 2 years earlier than we originally said. And as you'd expect from a clear strategy to deliver consistent cash flow, you can see here the benefit flowing through into dividends. Our dividend policy remains very clear, at 2 to 2.5 times cover. And for this year, with earnings per share being up 28%, free cash flow being up 31%, the dividend per share is up 31%. It's covered 2.2 times on earnings. Finally, I think it's ever so important when you set yourself medium-term targets to reflect and see how you're progressing against them. On the left is the targets we set there for volume growth, for margins, returns on capital, cash generation, and where we felt the right capital structure for our business was in the long term. So in terms of volume, we're at 2.2%, which is GDP plus 1%, so we're there on our volume target. On our margins of 7 to 9%, we're at the lower end of 7.2%, but we're in range That needs to be seen as a 90 basis point improvement on prior year. Return on capital employed. We're really pleased with how well we managed to sustainably take cash out of our balance sheet, and you can see that coming through on the return on capital, where at the upper end of the range is 14.6%. Operating cash flow to profit, 139%. Again there, the exceptional performance coming out of working capital has helped do that, but it also gives us the ability to keep investing, to build, strengthen and grow the business. Lastly, net debt to EBITDA, obviously with a cash position, it's not quite the metric that we expected at the time, but equally we're absolutely committed to the long-term capital structure, net debt to EBITDA being less than 2x for this business.
Thanks, Steve. So we're going to return, after looking at the results, around the robustness and the resilience of our business model, about the momentum that's building in the company, just in terms of culture, but in terms of some of the key processes, and then we'll return to the outlook, how we see the coming year. But the title of this slide is about leadership. As you know, it's a very fragmented industry. There has been no leader in this industry, and that's what our customers want. Our large customers, global customers, whose levels of expectation in terms of development, in terms of support, in terms of quality, basically just aren't being supplied by the industry, and that's what we're going to build over the coming years. So with that sort of background, just to remind ourselves over the last two years, how we have been changing the business. To produce a business that has the right business mix, you've got to be in the right businesses. It doesn't matter how good you are, if you're in the wrong business, it's going to end in tears. You've got to be in businesses that are growing, have the opportunity to deliver sustainable returns. Sustainable returns built on customers, built on employees, built on the environment, how we operate in the communities in which we work. And that will provide the sustainability for shareholder returns. So going back 18 months, July, 20 months, what are we now, June? 23 months, we announced the acquisition of OTOR. French business, bought it from Carlyle, big venture capitalist, owned it for 10 years. We halved the working capital, which took a lot of cost out of it, and the revenue synergy has been absolutely, absolutely excellent. It's now fully built into our business, it's integrated, we're absolutely delighted with it. We've also been closing some paper mills and disposing of them. We've closed the pension scheme in the UK, it was just unaffordable, very regrettable, but unaffordable. Selling Spices, I said a third of the group, back in December. And most recently, announcing the acquisition of SCA, which will close on Saturday. So we're starting to build a type of business that we believe is really attractive for shareholders. But we are on a journey. We're probably not at the end of the beginning. We're on a journey to create that leadership in the industry. And that current mix, this is showing how we are currently structured in terms of the mix of the business. We believe very strongly in a long packaging position, a long recycling position, and the smallest bit of paper we possibly need to ensure security of supply for our packaging operations. So in Dear Smith today, you can see we've got 1.2 million tonnes of packaging, and we're making about 700 of paper. That will reduce further, as we previously announced, have a short paper position. Paper is highly cyclical. For us, it doesn't produce the return on capital that we want to see. It represents about 10% of our profits. It's still there, but it's a very modest part. Go back 2 years, Dear Smith was long in paper. We're now short. In the SCA business that we're acquiring, we've deliberately left the craft mills. We don't want them. Not because we don't like them, it's just because they're not attractive to our shareholders. And we don't need them to support the business. So we're buying a business again that's short in paper, long packaging and a long recycling position. Long recycling because that means you own the fibre, the raw material. I don't just mean trading it, I mean actually going collecting it from the retailers, providing the service, providing assurance that nothing will go to landfill. Everything is fully recycled. We'll look at the carbon footprint. We'll monitor where all the bales of waste go. Some of our customers won't let their waste leave the country in which it was generated because they don't want to see it exported to the third world. We can guarantee that. Owning the fibre, short paper and a long packaging position focused on FMCG, we believe that's the right business. That's why we're generating the returns that we are. And we are building the momentum in the business. All divisions have improved. They've outperformed their markets. And the outperformance, interesting market share and the finances, but as I said earlier, our level of service to our customers has improved again on top of last year's improvements. Our level of quality, which is still not the level that it needs to be, has improved significantly. Our accident rate has fallen substantially. Our CO2 output has fallen substantially, creating this operational sustainability to the results. We have restructured our divisions. Steve outlined some of the costs, absolutely as we said we're going to. The UK used to have lots of different parts, but we've brought them together. Better service internally and lower costs. Releasing working capital as well. And reconfiguring the group. Starting to think of the group as a group instead of individual functions. That takes a change in culture of bringing the business together so that we're stronger together as a business than in separate parts. So if that's procurement, setting up the procurement function, it's quite a cultural change. It's now buying across the group. Better service from our suppliers, at better prices and better payment terms. Working with our customers, uniform service, uniform quality, uniform solutions. Putting the infrastructure in the group behind that. I've said at the same time, preparing for the SCA acquisition, where we're doubling our size. A long time to look at it, on a division by division basis, and we're ready. So how do we drive the further growth? We talked about the resilience of the business. Well, that's in the past. That's last year. We're into a new year now. And one of the key drives I just want to build further on is around innovation. You simply have to have the right product. Just selling any product, just competing on a price basis, will always be difficult for our shareholders' returns. So you have to build a business on the products and the service that we offer, looking for the uniqueness and having the financial systems to extract the right value for that. And so here we're talking about how we develop our top customers. We've talked about building our pan-European capability, central sales, supply and innovation. We've built what we call PackRight. This is the way we innovate for our customers. You can see on the bottom of the slide, it's got pack right, design right, supply right, image right, and recycle right. What does that mean? It's not just about the box. The design right is how we design the box that goes in the pallet that runs down the lines of the machines. We have a lot of our own software, our own patented products that we are now licensing outside of Europe to other packaging companies that do not compete with us in our market. They are buying our solutions from us. They're buying the intellectual property. That's around the right product, which is design right. Supply right is you've got to supply it to the customer. It's not about the box. How do you deliver it to the customer? We talked about R-Flute in the past, how we take out 20% of the logistics cost of our customers because the product is just so much, is much more compressed. And then how that stores in their warehouse. how it then runs through the lines of our customers. It's the total cost of supply. So we have our people in the factories of some of our customers. In some of our customers, we're guaranteeing the run speeds of their lines, because it's about the total cost. Image right is all around the quality. It's got to be right. It's got to be the quality of the product. Making sure that our systems ensure that the colour of our printing, the quality of the box is absolutely uniform across all of our factories. Because if you buy a bar of Dairy Milk chocolate, if you buy it in the UK, you buy it in France, you buy it in Germany, you buy it in Poland, it's got to have the same colour. It's got to look the same and it's got to taste the same. So our packaging has to be the same, and that's what we've been building into the company. And recycle right. You as consumers want to know that the packaging that you're using in consumption is on a sustainable basis. So we are the only packaging company that offers the service to our retailers of picking up all of the refuse, sorting it, recycling it, back into the supply chain, where we guarantee nothing goes to landfill, the full CO2 footprint. So our customers know if they come to us, they get the design right, the supply right, the image right, and the recycle right. This is about innovation. Our customers want a total solution. That's why our revenues for our top 25 increased by 13% last year. Building that credibility with them. And how do we do this? Just another example. How do we visualise this to our customers? This is an impact innovation centre. It's the third one we've built now. We've got one in the UK, we just put one in France, and now opening up in Poland. This is actually one of our factories. And it's a mock-up of a supermarket with all of our customers' products on the shelves. And it actually has a mock-up of a warehouse. And this is to demonstrate the supply rights, about the image rights, and how it actually works in the retailer and in the supply chain, so our customers can see how the value of our packaging really comes into their product. Lower costs, lower carbon, more efficiency, and we argue strongly, higher sales. So we visualise it. Three centres across Europe, bringing our customers there, showing them how it works. This is what we've been working on over the last year. So we grew 13% with our largest customers on a like-for-like basis. And just to remind, we are very, very conscious, as everybody is, of the economic environment in which we work. It is very difficult. This is our European business. This is predominantly the Eurozone. And we're showing here quarter on quarter our volumes, like-for-like volumes. They've never fallen below 3% growth. Never. We put it in since O-Talk, so it's on an absolute like-for-like basis. Every quarter, 5% like-for-like, 7% like-for-like, 3.4% like-for-like, 4.1%, 4.5%, and then 3.1%. But the 3.1% in the final quarter was on the 7% comparative. That means over the last 2 years, that like-for-like is now 10% up on the final quarter. Recycled packaging, selling in the right way. That's what we mean by the resilience of our business model. But ultimately, shareholders, what you're buying is a culture. That's what you're buying into. We have assets, we have very good assets, well invested, but in such a fast-moving business, it is about the culture. And as we change DS Smith to being that packaging focus, it does require us to bring the organisation with us. And we've been doing a lot of work on what we call the Own It campaign. And this is probably the most famous guy in the company. He just happened to be holding a cup of tea when we went into one of our factories. He said, do you mind if we take your photograph? He's in every site. He's in every pamphlet. He's everywhere. Bob is his name. Straight. Bob. And he's a hero. Because everybody associates him with what we're trying to achieve in the company. Rolling out to every employee, what are you trying to achieve? And if we're trying to service customers consistently across the group means we've got to work together in a consistent way. So when we brought in the O'Toole business from France, from Carlisle, there's a private equity culture, very different to ours. You know, we want those sustainability, we want to get all those that long-term position right. Controversial that, but and so how do you move their business much more into ours? It's about this common culture rolling out across everybody. What we expect from people, how we behave ourselves, supporting that drive for continuous improvement, and it's enforced with the management systems that we have in place. All rolled out, all communicated, started 12 months ago. The costs of that are all in the results that you've seen. Building the resilience of the business. So the second part, I talked about the resilience of our business model, about that momentum, about the cultural change. Let's just come on to SCA, because we've been spending a lot of time on this. We've been working on it for about a year. We had 6 months of exclusive bilateral negotiations with SCA. A lot of access to the business leading up to the announcement. We're absolutely delighted with the support we received from our shareholders. I mean, we were absolutely delighted with how they supported the rights issue, the acquisition, during a difficult time generally. And since that acquisition, we've been working on the integration plans. And you can see in the business here, just to remind ourselves, is a Northern European business. We show the primary market positions. The blue circles are DS Smith, where we are today, and the green circles are where SCA are. And the wonderful thing is that complementarity. Where we are weak, they're strong. And where we're strong, they have a very modest presence. And that structure gives us a fabulous position across Europe to continue to service our customers. Highly complementary, with tremendous growth potential as we raise the standards of both companies. So it's not that we're twice the size. It's not about being twice as big. It's about being 10 times stronger, better service, better quality, better innovation, better efficiency, better supply. That's what that's what we're seeking to achieve. And we'll own it from the 30th of June. And we're going to create this pan-European business. And we've done a lot of work to date. We've interviewed, we profiled the top senior managers. On day one, Saturday, we'll have a unified management structure. Day one. So everybody knows the structure of the group. Everybody knows who's running each part. And we have the key processes in place on day one. If there are any banks in here, you've probably seen all the work we've been doing on just transferring the bank accounts across. If that doesn't work, then we'll all be in trouble. But it is going to work. Plans for our customers. What are we going to say to each customer on day one? Who do they deal with? What about common pricing? When they ask those questions, how do we do that? It's all in place for day one. All the communication to our employees. Already, day one, this is what we're trying to do. This is where you fit in. This is what you can expect from us. Integration team fully resourced. It's been there for 6 months. It's a substantial team. It's built into each division. It's a proven process to integrate SCA into DS Smith. And this is what we'll be working for in the first 3 months. We're going to come back to shareholders on the 11th of October with a 100-day update. And in the first 30 days, we're going to be allocating those cost synergies. We know where they are and where they'll be allocated to have management responsibility and process responsibility behind the $75 million. The new structure will go in. And as I've said already, the communication. And then building the 60 days, we've only seen the synergies that we see. We don't know what they see from us. So we've got to capture that. So you go in with your eyes open, your ears open, and frankly, your mouth shut, so that we learn. And over that first 60 days, we capture the value of AC. That will be built in to update our plans. And as I said, we'll come back on the 11th of October to tell shareholders how we're seeing the synergies in costs, in working capital, in CapEx, about the revenue opportunities, and more about the management and more about the management team. So the outlook. We've all read the words. The fact is the macro environment is difficult. There's no question about that. It's difficult. It has been difficult for a while. We have never assumed it was going to improve. The SCA acquisition, we have said there are no heroic assumptions on revenue. Our plans assume the markets remain difficult. I think there's going to be more of an increasing differentiation between strong companies and weaker companies. We're seeing it already. We're seeing it in our customers, the ones that are really moving forward. And frankly, our customers are looking at their supply chain as well. Who is investing? Who is going to support us over the next 5 years? Do you want to be this supplier or that supplier? And it's not so much about fragmenting your supply base now. It's more about having the right support. And we believe, particularly with SCA, no question that we'll be one of the strongest company in the industry. And the consolidation will continue. So difficult environment. We're assuming low growth, but we are seeing the differentiation between strong and weak companies, and we think that's going to continue. So in summary, for DS Smith, there are significant opportunities. We saw them 2 years ago. We've been delivering them consistently. Our position will be transformed on Saturday. We have a clear strategy to maximise returns to shareholders, built on a resilient customer base. We'll have strengthened market positions, substantial synergies through the integration process. And if you come into DS Smith, as soon as you walk in, you'll feel the momentum. Thank you very much for your time. Now, we have a question and answer session, and we're going to take it in two parts. Obviously, we have a live broadcast of a voice rather than visual broadcast. So we'd like to do is take any questions people have from the floor first, and then we'll switch to the if there are any questions from listeners.
Morning. David Phillips from Citi. Can you just ask about the working capital momentum? I mean, clearly, the consistency through the year and the fact it never was above 5 is very, very positive. When you look at SCA, is there anything structural in there that will inhibit you getting a similar sort of result on a medium to long-term view?
Yeah, okay. First of all, we are, because we don't actually complete on SCA until the end of this month, I'm sort of subject to all the rules that went in the prospectus. Okay, that's the first thing I have to say. So in the prospectus, we said 40 million euros of cash benefit. That's what we expected to get out of the business. Having said that, as you know, they've got 280 million euros. And it's up to over 10%. I have to say, we couldn't find anything in our due diligence that's pointed for why their working capital sales should be twice the estimates. We're committed to get 40 out. We'll update you in the 100 days on terms of further opportunities. But, you know, we spent 6 months doing a lot of due diligence, and structurally, I can't see why their working capital is so high. What I do know is they don't focus on return on capital with the focused, vigor, energy that DS Smith does. So that's something, obviously, in terms of our management processes, our incentive plans, etc., that we all be pushed through the enlarged SCA group, and I expect them to have the same sort of focus on returns on capital, and as a subset of that, working capital efficiency on the part of DS Smith.
And just a quick follow-up to that one, it's 5% sort of lowest you can get it in the rest of the business, the core, DS Smith and Autor, or do you think there's even some you can aspire to there?
I think there's more work. I think we've done well on receivables and payables. I think there's more work that we can do on inventory. We're getting better and better, and we're challenging the people who have too much inventory. So there's more work to do there to bring that down. That's a constant work stream to become more efficient about how you run your supply chain.
And the second question for me, on the top 25 customers up 13%, is the correct like-for-like for that, the 8% organic for the group? So the top 25 going at...
That's absolutely right, because they're both on a like-for-like basis.
And how fast can that accelerate for me? I mean, is it a real two-year focus to make the top 25, top 50 customers grow at sort of double the rate of the rest of the group, or will it just happen the way it happens?
I mean, the truth is that we don't really know, and I'm not trying to dodge the question. When we talk about leadership to the industry, it's not just about a new box and a new colour, it's about the whole way, the sales, the marketing, the innovation behind each customer. And we're starting, and we're delighted with the response from our customers. It's a very good question, just how far can it go? Because we believe when SEA comes in, it will significantly improve our capability. Together, which in terms of R&D capability, it's just nobody comes near us. And the footprint as well. And that's what we're starting to talk to customers about. That's one of the things we need to come back to at the 100 days and pull a little bit more colour on this, because we think there's a significant opportunity. But really today, we're still going through and just refining just what is that in terms of numbers. We're asking the same questions you are.
Thank you.
Mike Murphy at Citigroup. Can you just talk us through the second half performance of each of the divisions? It's clear that there has been a slowdown in H2 and H2. There was no growth of the UK going backwards. I know you're so confident about the start into the current financial year, but I'm just drawing a line through. And, you know, the H2 performance, the profit performance is good. I'm just looking at the top line revenue.
Mm. Mm.
We put in some supplementary slides, Michael, on slide 40. Just doing the maths of H1 and H2. Because I think one of the messages that we wanted to give to people was obviously H1 was up strongly, 41%, but obviously that's the benefit of having the O2 acquisition in there. There's no O2 acquisition benefiting H2, and we're still up 15%. And the UK in there was up 10%. If your question is about UK revenue, Mike, yeah, you're right, it's down. That comes to the point I was making on the bridge about with paper. You know, we don't chase volumes. We maintain our cash margins, which basically means that we're prepared to sacrifice top-line revenue to maintain our margins. But that's one of the advantages of being a short paper business.
And that 2%, the variance, is that on a like, that's on a like-for-like basis? I just wonder what the impact would be if you did it on a constant currency basis, see if H2.
I think the 15% goes to 16%, Mike.
That's on...
Yeah, it was quite small.
So it'd be a small impact on the revenue line as well.
Yes, yes, same this.
Okay, so on an underlying, it would probably be just slightly better than the 2% continental packaging, H2 and H2.
Yes, yes, correct.
I really reinforce what Steve said there about that focus on return on capital. If it doesn't, we believe that is the primary measure for shareholders. And if it doesn't work on a return on capital, and we don't think... Basically, and we don't think it's us. In other words, we're inefficient. We won't do it.
And I don't know whether you covered this in the last question. I was just running through some numbers. On those top 25 customers, how much do those account of the total sales?
Yeah, we haven't disclosed that. We'll come back to you.
You did in the prospectus.
We did, yeah.
Well, I can't remember, but we'll get back to you by the end, because Rachel will probably be able to tell me. But we'll come back to you at the end.
Yeah. One question here. Switch to the the external calls.
Okay, just a couple of questions for you. Can you say on those programs that you're running in terms of cost savings that you're advancing quite nicely, and particularly on the procurement program, does that go on? You hit your target, what more is there to do?
Just as about the philosophy of the company, Steve can obviously pick up on where we are in terms of what's left, because we haven't actually hit the full run rate by any means. The Own It campaign, the whole concept of continuous improvement, and it comes back to working capital as well. We set some initial targets, we're confident of achieving them, and then we'll come back to some other targets. It never stops. It's as simple as that. You keep on going, and that's the culture in the organisation, whether it's procurement, whether it's working capital, operation efficiency, service, quality, etc. It's getting that mentality in and getting the confidence in the organisation to do that, and you see more of that.
Do you think you'll be resetting those targets?
Well, what we have to do is to integrate SCA and come back in 100 days and see what's there. And that's really why we put it there, because I think it's not any good for shareholders to be clear. You know, we need to draw a line and stand, so right, this is really how it does look. Let's work towards that, and obviously we can update in whenever necessary.
Just on CapEx, you've given some guidance, I think, in terms of CapEx. Mm. Can you break that out between growth and maintenance, and the growth components, what are you spending your money on?
The CapEx this year is 33 million, as I said. That's probably the same. The guidance for next year, Hector's 160, so I'd use the same proportion. We're basically spending it on making more colours, more sophisticated boxes, making them quicker. You know, it falls into there, so it's numbers of colours, its ability to glue, cut faster. But that's what our customers want, and that's where we're investing behind. The actual amounts are individually relatively modest. If it doesn't work out in a specific factory or region, we can easily move them. They're mobile assets that we can move as well. So it's relatively asset-light investments that we can, and we're responding to what our customers want.
Okay, thank you. And just final one on energy prices. Can you say what the movement in energy prices means for you and how you've hedged that going forward?
We hedge between 25% and 75%. We are at the lower end of that as energy prices come off. We hedge out on a decline, on a sliding scale going out over the next 2.5 years. So we're at the lower end of that hedging rate. We see energy prices being weaker. But that, in a sense, they'll be what they are, Hector, but they'll apply to everyone in the industry. So all the paper makers will face the same energy cost. We just have to set out to recover those costs.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Let's just take one more and then we'll move to the external.
Just on volume growth, would you be able to quantify the difference in performance between FMCG customers and your more industrial segments? And secondly, I suppose you did very well on price recovery in the year to 2012. Now that you've seen containerboard prices coming off by about 50 euros a tonne, are you seeing corrugated prices come under any sort of pressure now?
You said the resilience of the business is built on our customer base. There's no doubt that some sectors like construction, I'm talking about Europe in general, construction is under pressure. Quite interesting, I mean, automotive, because so much comes out of Germany, that's actually been reasonably robust. But overall, the industrial sector hasn't been as buoyant as the FMCG sector. That's what we assumed. Unfortunately, that's what's happened. The outlook going forward, as you say, we are very, very cautious on any real change there. Our plans assume probably no change. It'll remain difficult. And then the second part of your question, you'll have to excuse me, it's just slipped my mind.
You've done pretty well on the cost recovery,
yeah.
Last year.
Absolutely. But we're after consistent returns. And as you can see, we talked about the shortening of our contract periods. They used to be 6 months, now 3 months. So you get a full cost recovery in the current year. And when prices fall, then as raw material costs fall, then that will go back to our customers. And I have to say, what we want is consistency of returns. So there's obviously a lag on the way up and there'll be a lag on the way down. But it's pretty short. Consistent returns, consistent return on capital, that's what we're building it on. Can I just ask, I know some people are listening in externally, are there any questions from the moderator or through the moderator?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question via the telephone line, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. And we have a question coming through from the line of Harry Dixon from Davy in Dublin. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of clarifications, really. Steve, in terms of the exceptional items, the 54.7, you might, apologies if you've given this, I'm on a bad line, you might just give me some breakdown on that. The second one is different to the like-for-like volume. Again, just a clarification, the like-for-likes last year were up 2%, yet on that chart, the quarterly one, it's showing consistently above 3%, you might just sort of reach that. And then finally, just on the SCA acquisition, and in terms of the corrugating facilities that you're acquiring, can you give us some sense of how many big facilities you're acquiring? Just, I suppose, in the sense of us trying to understand if you need big corrugating facilities to pursue this FMCG strategy, do you have enough in the SCA assets that you're acquiring, or will you have to start investing more capex in order to build those out? Thank you.
On the exceptionals, let's say, by value, most of them you'll see going into the two paper businesses that we exited as we restructured. We sold Higher Kings Mill and we closed Holland, so that's where the exceptions, again, that's what we said, we were in terms of reducing our paper footprint. We've also, I think there was a public announcement by the Welsh Development Authority that we're creating a shared service centre in Wales. Again, that's where some of the cost has gone. We, as I said in the presentation, we've restructured our European packaging business to improve returns there, in plastic and in corrugated. So it's across a number of areas, but the overriding message is reducing paper content and becoming more efficient in our packaging businesses. The like-for-like stuff.
Exactly as we've announced previously.
Yeah.
These are the areas, these are the costs. So it's no different to any numbers that have been previously announced.
Okay.
Like-for-likes, we're a GDP plus 1% business, so it's fair to say that GDP across Europe, and we weight this by the markets that we're in, has weakened. Therefore, our growth has probably come down from 2.6% to 2.2%. On the SCA acquisition facilities and CapEx, we did 6 months of due diligence. We've done site visits. We are very happy with their facilities. There are some areas where there's additional investment on health and safety that we've identified, but we've allowed for that in the cost projections that we gave you. And the CapEx guidance we've given of £160 million, that is perfectly adequate to build and develop that business. There's nothing special or unique about investing for FMCG. It's about complexity of printing, yes, about making more complex boxes, but it's not going to drive prohibitive levels of investment. We're very comfortable with that £160 million of capex guidance that we've given the market. Did I cover all those, Harry?
Thank you. I think that's...
Thank you, and we have no further questions coming through from the telephone line.
That's great. Well, look, just to say again, thank you, everybody, for your...
I think Mike might have a...
Apologies.
Can I just ask on the plastics division, it seems to be a bit of a star performer in the second half of the year, and you've kind of... just ignored it in the presentation. That's the impression I get. I just wondered actually, what was the reason for that? And sort of going into the current financial year, I mean, it looks as though it is strong. Is the expectation for the plastics packaging better than it is for the corrugated, at least in the short term?
There's no doubt a supercharger has been bolted onto the side of plastics. But let's just remind ourselves what plastics is. This is predominantly making plastic bags that go inside cardboard boxes for the transportation of liquids, rather than put the liquid in a bottle, a plastic bottle, which has a very poor footprint, so it's very expensive to distribute. This is back to supply right, which we're talking about on the innovation. You've got to have the right supply chain. That means the right distribution costs. And we believe the transportation of liquids in corrugated will be a long-term growth industry. That's why we didn't dispose of the business. If we go back, when we talked about the strategy, people talked, why have you still got plastic? It's the complementarity with the corrugated, the distribution of liquids. And you're right, it has done very well. And I think the outlook for that business, tied in with corrugated, I have to say, is, I think, very attractive, particularly as long-term transportation logistics costs will only increase. We're absolutely delighted with it, and we have a very strong position in the marketplace, very strong.
Would it be fair to say that the expectation of that might be better than the corrugated because of the transfer across?
It's growing because corrugated is growing. What it's doing is taking a slightly, the restructuring, the product development. You know, it's all a question of where they're sort of coming from in relative performance. So we have seen a big pickup. I think it will move further forward, but it does need to corrugate. It's very similar to that. It's very very complementary. Look, I'd just like to say then, thank you very much, everybody, for your time. We really do appreciate it. It's a bit of a muggy room. And just to remind ourselves, we said four things. One is about the resilience of the business model, and I hope you see that. You've seen the results in the business, about what we've produced last year. It has been a transformational year for DS Smith with the acquisition of SCA and disposal of Spicers. And our outlook for the coming year remains unchanged from where we've been previously. It is a robust outlook for further progress within the company. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets. Thank you.